All right, once again this evening, continuing in our series on a call to prayer, we're looking at different passages of Scripture to give us a challenge to pray, recognizing its importance. Last time we gathered around this thought of prayer, we looked at kind of the beginning of Samuel's ministry, of how he cried unto the Lord in a time of great distress, and the Lord heard him and brought deliverance, and throughout the rest of his time as judge, the Lord was against the Philistines, that they didn't have to have a big army to try to fight the Philistines. God just basically fought against them and kept them away. But then we see what happens in as he served his people. 1 Samuel chapter 1 Samuel chapter 8, where they basically said, "Oh, you're old, your sons don't walk in your ways, we want a king." And he went to God about it and prayed in the Lord, which is really the right thing to do rather than getting bitter and upset. He just prayed to the Lord and he says, "Okay, they have not rejected you, they rejected me." Protesting them the consequences of their choice. If they still choose it, then okay, we'll find a king. So they found a king by the name of Saul, and he brought great deliverance to them. And it was essentially, we find in chapter 12, is where Samuel is passing the torch. He's saying, "Okay, you no longer want me as judge. I am stepping out of the picture. You've chosen king, and so you're going to have to deal with that." And so I just want to read a portion here. This is kind of as he concludes it. Beginning in verse 16, it says, "Now therefore stand, see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is not wheat harvest today? I will call in the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king." So Samuel called in the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, "Pray for thy servants and the Lord thy God, that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king." And Samuel said unto the people, "Fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, ye have turned not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because he hath pleased the Lord to make you his people." And this is the verse we want to focus on this evening. It says, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you, but if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king." And so we see that he was a man of prayer to the very end of his life and ministry, and we see the relationship he had, that he could pray and the Lord would send thunder and rain. It was testimony of their sin in asking for a king, and they recognized that, and they, the people asked him to pray for them, that the Lord would be merciful to them, that they wanted him to continue to have that role in their lives as being one who would pray for them. And we see the statement there in verse 23 that he says, "God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." And that's something that a lot of times, like, we know the Bible says that we are to pray without ceasing, or to be praying for one another. that there's a priority. We see that in 1 Timothy chapter 2, that prayers, supplication should be made for all men, for kings and all their in authority. But a lot of times we neglect to pray for whatever reasons. We can find a multitude of reasons that our flesh gives us to forget to pray, to cease to pray. But we see the terms in which Samuel lays it out, and it's terms that we want to understand too, that he says, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. And it's a thought that prayerlessness is a sin. And we realize that sin is something that can be very addictive. It brings us into bondage, and it can be very destructive. And we think of that in many different ways, because we need to pray for people. We want God to intercede on their behalf. And if we cease to pray for them, we're doing them a great disservice by failing to do so. But as well, we realize when we sin, the person that we hurt the most is ourselves. And when we cease to pray, really what's happening is we're ceasing to really have that person in our mind and have a love and concern for them, where we want to see God help them. And you can think of it with Samuel, that if he would have had the wrong attitude, if he would have been if he would have taken it personally that they rejected him, then he could have said, well, I'm not going to pray for you anymore because of what you did to me. And he said, I'm not going to do that. And it's kind of the thing that when we cease to pray for others, it affects us, that it's a sign that we don't want God to intervene on their lives anymore. We almost, it's like we hope bad things happen to them. And we don't articulate in that way, but it's kind of the idea where we think of the goodness of the Lord, of his benevolence. It's the idea is when there's something good to be done for someone, that God always does it, right? And that's what he wants us to do. That if we see someone have need and we shut up our bowels of compassion from them, how dwells the love of God in us, right? And so it's the thing. Everybody needs prayer. And really when someone does something wrong or something that hurts us, upsets us, we realize they need prayer even more. And so if we see that need, a person has a need for prayer, we refuse to pray for them or forget to pray for them, then we realize there's something wrong with our heart that needs to be fixed. And we need to get right with the Lord so that we can return to a place of prayerfulness for other people. But we want to realize that if we cease to pray for other people, not only is it hurtful and really in many ways a sin against them, not only is it also hurtful and a sin against us, or where we're hurting ourselves by not praying, but we see what he says there, that God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. And we really want to think of it in those terms. Yes, it's wrong in terms of the person we're ceasing to pray for. Yes, it hurts us. But we see that it's sinning against the Lord, because it's the idea is that is a responsibility he gives us as his people, that we are to pray, that this is what he asks us to do, that we're to be intercessors for other people. He wants us to stand in the gap for other people. And so we want to think of it in these terms, is that God gives us a responsibility as his people to pray for one another. And if we fail in that responsibility, he's going to hold us accountable for that. And so we should have the same thought that Samuel did, where God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. And so we should desire for that not to happen. And so I think it's something to evaluate two things specifically. First off, it's what excuses does our flesh bring up to cause us to cease to pray for someone? And so we can think of many different ones, or just bring up a few. But sometimes, of course, we can, if we have some hurt, our own hurt because of something they've said or done, or not responded to us the way we'd hoped, or like with Samuel, where they rejected us or disappointed us, we could, out of our own vindictiveness and bitterness, we can stop praying for them. And that's wrong. And we have to recognize that to be wrong. We don't want that root of bitterness to grow up within us and defile us. And so we want to eliminate that. Sometimes we can just get an attitude where, especially if someone seems to be being stubborn, we can just kind of think, well, what good is it going to do? This person is stubborn. They seem to be bent towards destroying themselves. So what's the point of even bothering to pray? But we realize when they're in that situation, that's when we need to pray the most, because the only person that really can bring the forces to bear to get them to turn is God himself. And so the more desperate the situation seems to be, that should actually be more of an impetus to pray, not something that would hinder us from praying. And many other different things, but sometimes it can just be where we get busy and we just don't think about praying for that person. We get too wrapped up in what we're doing in life. And we might even say, well, I'll pray for you, and then day goes by and realize I haven't prayed for that person. And so it can just be not even necessarily intentional. It can just be something that we neglect. And so it's the thought of, okay, how do we help ourselves to pray? And it's kind of the thing is that just as we think of what we do with a lot of times, what do we have with, of course, the daily journals with RU is we have the meditation cards, right, that we take where there's a verse that we want to think about, right? And we try to look at it through the day, help us have right thinking. Well, it's kind of in the same way we want to have that thought of maybe writing down people's names and looking at it through the day so that we can remember to pray. We think of that one verse in Isaiah chapter 49, where Zion said, this is verse 14 to 16, says, Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. And so it's kind of the think about it. God never forgets us, never forgets his people. He has us written on his hands. And so it's almost, if that's what we have to do, where we actually write people's names on our hands so that we can remember, then it's worth doing. But it's realizing that we need to pray. People need us to pray for them. We need God to step into their life and make a difference. And I think instead of that, so often that we have to ask ourselves, when we're dealing with someone, we're getting frustrated with them, we need to ask ourselves, have I prayed for them? Have I sought God's hand of mercy and just have him to do work in that person's life that I can't do myself. And so may the Lord help us that we would be people of prayer and that we wouldn't sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for other people.